Amen. We want to thank Brother Sarpi. He always does an outstanding job of leading us in songs. And I tell you, I'm just going to have to gather myself for just a moment. I'm just full so I can preach this lesson. But just thank you so much for the beautiful way you led the songs and the beautiful way in which you have participated in the singing of those songs as well this morning. Oh, I want to see him. You know, I was sitting there thinking, and I guess it's in line with the lesson, you're going to see him whether you want to see him or not. Yes. We're all going to see him. But we want to be in a position that we want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever. You know, if you don't like singing now, you might want to check yourself, because when we make it to heaven, it's going to be singing around the throne of God. And if you don't like it now, I don't know what you plan to do in eternity. But we just look forward to that time that we can spend the eternal ages with God. And we're just very grateful for the wonderful blessing that God has bestowed upon us, giving us yet one more day to honor him in worship. We certainly appreciate those of you who are visiting with us, and we hope and pray that you will be encouraged and inspired by being here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. We thank you sincerely for being with us, and you will be recognized in another way later on in the worship services today. I want to remember Brother Gibbs, as he is away. I believe Brother Gibbs and Brother Bradshaw are in Florida. They're at the New Golden Heights Church of Christ with Brother Brother Washington. So we want to be mindful of them in prayer and just ask that God would be with them and bless them in their travels. If you will, turn with me to the text that was read in your hearing. The text comes from Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12 through verse number 17. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" In keeping with our theme of the victorious harvest, I'd like to use or lift our theme for the lesson this morning from verse number 17 of the text, where he says, "For the great day of his wrath is come." But I want to use instead this theme, the great day of harvest. The great day of harvest. John, as he writes about the judgment day. This is one of several accounts within the book of Revelation that deal with this day. You know, every now and then, I just believe that it's very important for us to stop and reset our view of life and even our view of worship and ask yourself the question, why am I here this morning? Why am I here? Why are we here singing songs of praise? Why are we here uttering prayers, participating in the remembrance of Christ's death? Why are we here giving of our means? Someone may respond by saying, well, Brother Worthy, it's obvious why we're here. We're here to worship God. And that's true. Someone might also respond, I just feel like I just need to be here. That's why I'm here. There might even be someone who says, I just feel like I need to be at church today. However, I just believe that one of the main reasons that we should be here is because of the events that John writes here in Revelation chapter 6. It's easy to become completely consumed in the world that we live in. In the events, in the culture, in the politics, in the desires and cares and worries of the day, it's very easy for us to get pulled in. And frankly, that's what Satan wants you to do. And he wants you to do it to the extent that my vision and my perspective is locked in only on those things that I can see. But we need to understand, there's some things that we have not seen. There's some things that are yet to take place that we're going to have to be willing to be a part of. Everything is going to culminate with this great day of harvest. I remember Solomon said over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon had taken the time to go out and test life. Don't you remember he went out one day and just said, I'm going to buy everything that my eyes can see. Then Solomon made the conclusion, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then at the culmination of Ecclesiastes 12, he made the statement, he said, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. He said, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, if you don't get out of here without doing anything else, if you don't accomplish anything else, if you don't acquire anything else, if your name is not of note, if you're not recognized for some other reason, one thing you want to be recognized as someone that pleased God. Because this day that's spoken of here represents the culmination of all things. And let me tell you, church, these are not just words on a book. This is real. Just as sure as we're sitting here this morning, one of these days Jesus is going to come back. And I know within our fleshly, I can take a little bit more time here than I did in the first service, within our fleshly view of things, we tend to be directed and guided simply on the basis of those things that we can see. I've never seen God. I've never seen Christ. These things that are described here in John, they seem very hard to imagine to the individual that does not possess a faith in what the Word of God has to say. And they can even be marginalized in the mind of an individual who is a Christian if you're not constantly focusing on those things that pertain to life and godliness. But here John writes about the culmination of things. When I see the text, I see three different portions to the text. The first part of the text is mention of the fact that the change that's going to take place in this world. Look again what he said. Again, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. God's going to shake things up. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And someone asked the question, well, is this literal? You know, there are a lot of scholars that say, well, I don't know if this is literal or not. Well, you could argue that if you want to, but I can know one thing for certain. This world is going to change. God has always been a God of order. Every day, for as long as all of us have been living, the sun comes up in the east, goes down in the west. Every night you can walk out, unless there are clouds or unless you live in a place where the lighting doesn't allow you to do it, you can look up in the sky and you can see stars. And you can see constellations. Men have been able to track constellations and the stars for hundreds of years, almost as long as man has been on this earth. The moon is always in its place. The planets are always in their place. But God is saying here, John is saying here that all of this is going to change. The world is going to change as we know it. And this is one of the things that's going to be the beginning of the culmination of the end. And it makes no difference if I can't imagine this. It makes no difference if this goes beyond my ability to fathom. I just can't see God doing that. He don't need you to see it. He needs me to believe it. Things are going to change. But then look at what else is going to take place. Not only is there going to be a change in the world, but also all of the world is going to be judged. The judgment of all men. Look at what he says, beginning at verse number 15 and 16. He said, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. Now, you see, when John writes here, he's writing from the vantage point of the person that is not prepared for this day. You see, for the individual that is not prepared for this day, it's going to be a day of horror. But for the person that is prepared, it's going to be a day of harvest. Look at what it said. All individuals are going to be standing before the judgment seat of God. He said, all the kings of the earth. You may have been a king while you were here on earth, but now you stand before the King of Kings. All the great men, presidents, senators, powerful all men, CEOs, great historical figures, great men. You may have been great in your existence on this earth, but now you're going to stand before the great I am. Rich men. Bill Gates is going to stand there. Warren Buffett going to stand there. All the men that have all the money are going to stand there before God. But you may have been rich on this earth, but you're going to stand before the one who is described as a cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. Chief captains going to stand before him. Military men. Men who were able to point their finger and tell individuals what to do. But you're going to stand before the captain of our salvation. Bond men going to stand before him. You may have been a bond man on this earth, but you're going to stand before one who, while you were here, had the opportunity to make you free from the bondage of sin. All men are going to stand before him. And you know one thing I know for sure? On that day, in an instant, there will be no more atheists. There's not going to be any more men in a pseudo-academic argument raising their fist up to God saying, I don't believe that there is a God. You won't have to believe there is a God because you're going to be able to look up and see Jesus descending. Not only are you going to see him, you're going to hear him. No more atheists. No more Gnostics. No more individuals talking about I just don't see how there could possibly be a God. Well, you just keep on not seeing right now. God is a God that's not willing that any should perish, but he's willing that all should come unto repentance. And God has appointed a day. We all have a day. And when you look at life really can, somebody asks the question, what's the point of life? What should my life be about? A lot of individuals spend their entire existence looking at and trying to think of what is my purpose in life. Here's your purpose, preparing for that day. We prepare for retirement. We prepare for marriage. We prepare for businesses. We prepare for all sorts of things. We prepare for marathons. We prepare for all number of things. But are you prepared for that day? You can have all the preparation. You can do all the things that you might want to do. But if I stand before God on that day, not prepared, woe on me. And look at what he said. The Bible said, the kings, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the bondmen, every free man, they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Think about the significance of that. On that day, there is no longer a fear of death. In other words, death is preferred before standing face to face with God. Rocks fall on me. Then hide me. I don't want to stand before his face. I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning, but you know, then again, yes, I am. Paul made the statement, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. If I can scare you into being ready for that day, then so be it. Somebody need to be scared. We know we get to a point, you know, people marginalize God. Well, I just thank God as a loving God. I just thank God as a kind God. I just thank God as a God of mercy. I just thank God won't do anything like he said it. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10, if you will. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. He talks a little bit in the context of judging against our brother, or why dost thou set not against thy brother? And then look what he said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse number 11, for it is written, this is Jesus speaking, it is written, as I live, Jesus said, as sure as I'm living, as sure as I'm living. In other words, he's almost swearing by himself. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You see, the thing of it is, I don't want to wait to that day to bow down to it. I don't want to wait to that day to confess him. I want to bow down to him now. I want to confess his name now. I want to acknowledge him as God now. I want him as my Lord and Savior now. I want the promises that come from salvation now. I don't want to get to that day, stand before him, and now I have to bow down. I want to bow down to him right now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. You see, when I look at this, Jesus, he even speaks of this as well. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, and I want you to see how Jesus' own words corroborate with the words that John gives. In looking at Matthew chapter 24 and looking down to verse number 29 through verse number 31, Jesus, again, corroborates the words and the account that John gives as he talks about the end as well. Look at what he says in verse number 29 of Matthew chapter 24. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, here it is again, shall the sun be what? Darkened. This is Jesus speaking now. And the moon shall not what? Give her light. Didn't John say that? And then he said, and the stars shall do what? Didn't John say that? And the powers of heaven shall be what? Didn't John talk about an earthquake? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of earth what? See, if you're not prepared for that day, it's going to be a day of horror. It's going to be a day of mourning. But if we're prepared to see and stand and look in the face of Christ as he comes down to this earth, it's going to be a day of harvest. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and with glory. And then look at what it says in verse number 31. I said just a moment ago, not only will you see him, you're going to hear him too. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect. Who are his elect? The elect of those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul would say in Romans 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He said his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. I want to be ready for that day. So not only will this be a time or day, and as I told this lesson went a little shorter than I thought it would this morning, and I'm not trying to lift it. I don't think you have to spend a long time telling you what God is going to do, and you need to be ready for it. Not only this, will this be a day in which there will be a change of the world. And not only will it be a day in which God is going to judge all men, but it's going to be a day of glorious harvest. Glorious harvest. I want you to look at Luke chapter 21. And now Luke gives another account of this day. But I want you to look at how Luke, what words of Jesus that Luke uses to describe this day. In the previous account we just looked at, we saw horror and saw the men of the earth mourning for this day. But in Luke's account, we see a different spin on this particular day. In Luke chapter 21, down to verse number 25, again, Jesus speaking. And he said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth and distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing." Why are they failing? They're failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, whenever I see that word shaken in the scripture, it reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12. It said, "Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God with reverence and godly fear." He said, "For our God is a consuming fire." I'm here to tell you, when God comes back, he's going to shake things up, but we are in a place that cannot be shaken. Look what he says further. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things began to come to pass," then he says, "look up." You know, I hear some preachers say this sometimes. You miss your chance to shout right there. When you see these things coming, he said, "look up."
Yes, sir.
By contrast, when you're not ready, I'm calling for the mountains to fall on me. I'm calling for the rocks to fall on me. John was talking about those that were not prepared for this day. But here, Jesus is talking about those that are prepared for this day. He said, when you see these things coming, he said, "look up." And not only did he say, "look up," he said, "lift up your head." Have you ever, or have you experienced some things in life that made you bow your head? Troubles, head down. Sickness, head down. Relationships, head down. Money, the lack thereof, head down. Jesus went on record, John chapter 16 and verse number 33, he said, "In this world, you're going to have troubles." He said, "But I want you to be of good courage. I've overcome the world." But there are things in this world that cause our head to go down. But he said, "look up and lift your head up." And why can you lift your head up? Here's the answer. He said, look what he says. He said, "For your reward," or your redemption, "draweth nigh." What are you talking about, Jesus? I'm talking about the harvest that you're looking forward to receiving. Hold your head up. And I just believe that these are words that we can utilize right now. As we live on this earth, and sometimes we look around and things just don't look right, and things just sometimes don't feel right, and you begin to look at some things even nationwide and culture-wise and all around us, maybe even in the workplace, and you just begin to wonder, where is this thing going? But for the child of God, hold your head up. Hold it up, because my redemption is nigh. It's nigh. You know, when I think about this further, Jesus even takes the message further in this same chapter. In verse number 34, he says, take heed to yourselves. Again, we're Matthew or Luke chapter 21 and verse number 34. He said, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. In other words, don't allow yourself to get out there and get caught up in that mess. And not only that, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Don't let that happen to you. He said, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But then he says in verse number 36, he said, watch. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted what? What was that again? I love to hear that word said, worthy. To escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to be prepared for that day. Jesus said, keep your head up. When time for me to come back, I want you looking up. You know, back in the early church prayed a prayer that said, Lord, come quickly. Oh, yes. They were so attuned to their life and so attuned to those things that God would have them to be. They weren't so fixated on the world that was around them. They were so fixated on the redemption that awaited them. They said, Lord, come quickly. Could this be our prayer? Could this be your personal prayer? Lord, come quickly. Or do you say, well, Lord, I want you to come, but not just now. Come quickly. When I think about this idea of the glorious harvest, we need to keep living our lives in such a way that we are able to take advantage of the harvest that awaits us. And if we are going to take advantage of a harvest, we're going to have to sow. Psalmist says in Psalm chapter 126 and verse number 5, says, sow in tears, but reap in joy. That day is going to be a joyous day. Hosea, back in the long ago, wrote in Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12, he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And then he said, and reap in mercy. That's going to be a day, that day of harvest is going to be a day of mercy. We got to keep on sowing. Sow in your worship. Sow in your study. Sow in your giving. Sow in your love. Sow in your life and your example. Sow in your prayer life. Sow in sharing your faith. Sow when you're at work. Sow at home. Everything you're doing, I'm giving my best. I'm depositing my best. I'm sowing because I'm looking forward to a great day of reaping. I'm looking forward to a great day of harvest. I'm not going to be in a position to where I'm looking up concerned, wondering if the Lord is coming today and I don't want to face him right now. No, we need to be in a position where we're ready to face him right now. Eternity is too long to play with. It's too long to play with. And if I want to be ready for that day, I need to make preparations right now. I need to sow if I want to be a part of that glorious harvest. There might be someone here this morning, and you're not a member of the Lord's body. We want you to be a part of that glorious harvest. If y'all will put Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4 and 5 on the screen. In order for something to be harvested, it has to first of all be planted. Amen. Look what Paul said. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Next verse. He said, for as we have been what? Planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness be in the likeness of his resurrection. God can't harvest anything that has not been planted. If you want to be harvested on that day, you got to hear the word of God. Believe the same. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go down to the watery grave of baptism, which plants you into Christ. And when Christ comes back in the cloud, I can stand in anticipation and Christ can harvest me. And as we have all been planted together and we are harvested, we can also harvest the redemption that awaits us. What a sad thing to live on this earth, go through all the troubles, the difficulties, the mess that goes on to this earth. And I'm just going to put it very frank, and then go and live in a burning hell. Everyone in here deserves more. You know why I know you deserve more? Because God thought enough of you to send his son to die for you. Amen. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things, amen, such as silver or gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God wants you to be able to stand in that day and be a part of that glorious harvest. Are you a part of that harvest this morning? If you're not, you need to make that change. Amen. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, come forward this morning and be planted so that you will be fit to be harvested in that day. Maybe if you're here and you're not, you are a member of the Lord's church, you've not been living your life in a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto God. You've not sold in such a way as to look forward to that wonderful harvest. Don't let this world, don't let the cares of this world, don't let the things and the worries of this world take you away from your first love. Live every day and in full anticipation of meeting the Lord in peace. He's coming on that day, but your day might come before that day. Amen. And the way that you die is a way that you're going to arise. Amen. Yesterday, we prayed for the Reitzel family. We buried one of their family members, 16-year-old young lady. 16. You're not guaranteed to live to be 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. We don't know when our time is come. It can come quickly and suddenly. And the way I die is the way I rise. And that's the way I'm going to stand before God. I wouldn't go one day without making things right with God, so that I could be a part of that glorious harvest. If you have a need, we ask that you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments Spotless are they white as snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 888. Who do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, in the blood, Lord, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?